Time now for a glimpse beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra. He's publisher of the dailyclimate.org and environmental health news. That's EHN.org. And he's on the line from Conyers, Georgia. Hi, Peter. What caught your fancy today?
Hi, Steve. We have a provocative study from the journal Environmental Health Perspectives. So the study was done this summer by the University of British Columbia's School of Public Health, and they took records of 64,000 births in the Vancouver area, plotted them out on a map, and found that moms who lived near green space while pregnant had bigger babies and fewer premature births. The study also corrected for income factors.
Wow, so bigger babies from homes near grass and trees?
Yeah, and it wasn't a huge difference in birth weight, about 45 grams, which is in turn about an ounce and a half on average. There have been lots of studies on things that have a negative impact on birth weight, like air pollution and noise. But this report from British Columbia shows what might be a positive impact on newborns.
Well, it certainly is nicer to look out on a park than a factory. Okay, what else did you bring us this week?
We got another story from Canada about when a reporter meets a bureaucracy while researching a story on something called rock snot. Can I say that on the radio?
Peter, you just did.
Well, rock snot is the pet name for this gooey invasive algae that's become a nuisance when it grows on rocks in rivers and streams. Everybody can probably use their imaginations for what rock snot looks like and feels like. But a reporter for the Canadian Press Wire Service wanted to do a story on how it's spreading. And that reporter reached out to Max Bothwell, the scientist who was the rock star of rock snot. Now, Canada's in the middle of a massive crackdown on public comments by its government scientists, so the interview never happened.
Oh, yeah, we've reported on this information stonewall government scientists in Canada, but it extends to rock snot as well? How come?
Well, it's believed that rock snot is spreading due to climate change, and Canada's status as a world oil and gas power makes climate change kind of a sensitive issue. But here's where the story gets fun. The Canadian press filed a request for all of the correspondence on why they couldn't get their rock snot interview, and what they got back from the government was 110 pages of emails between 16 different government PR officials about shaping approved answers for the reporters' questions, and ultimately, they never got back to the Canadian press to schedule the rock snot interview.
Whoa. And there's a lot of concern about access to government scientists in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, but on this vital issue, the U.S. may be falling behind the Canadians.
All right, let's move on to the Environmental History Library now, Peter. What you got for us?
This week marks the 15th anniversary of a hurricane we don't much remember, but it's one that left an impact that can be seen and even smelled to this very day. Hurricane Floyd came ashore near Cape Fear, North Carolina in 1999. It had already done a lot of damage in the Bahamas, but at its U.S. landfall, it was only a Category 2 storm. Nothing to sneeze at, but far from the worst of hurricanes.
So what was there to fear about Hurricane Floyd?
Hurricane Floyd hit Carolina a week after Hurricane Dennis had left 6 inches of rain there, and then Floyd came in and pretty much parked over North Carolina, leaving a couple of feet of rainfall over a few days. When the skies cleared, it got worse as North Carolina's rivers rose, killing 51 people and a couple of million farm animals. Floyd delivered on warnings that the state's huge and growing hog farming business was verging on a waste-based disaster, and Floyd's rains overwhelmed the huge lagoons of hog and poultry waste. They're ruining water supplies, ruining waterways for months.
Well, the hog waste crisis was a big story. This never could when you can smell your wake-up call.
Precisely. The stink that was literally raised after Floyd has seen some improvements in how massive livestock farms deal with their waste, but critics say there's still a big problem.
Well, thanks, Peter. Peter Dykstra is publisher of Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org, and the dailyclimate.org. And there's more on these stories at our website, LOE.org. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Talk to you soon.